Addiction never affects just the addict. It affects all of us. Recovering from addiction and alcoholism is also a life-changing battle for families dealing with a loved one's addiction. Numerous programs support addicts as they reclaim their lives, while their families face their own challenges without the same guidance. You're listening to Voices in Courage with K.L. Wells, where we transform the lives of the families and loved ones of addicts and alcoholics from surviving to thriving in the midst of chaos. Tune in as we highlight vulnerable stories of families who have addicted relatives and friends and learn how they have dealt with the challenges of isolation, desperation, and shame. If you are seeking ways to live your best life, then we welcome you into this safe space. Be a part of change today with your host, K.L. Wells.
Hi, this is K.L. Wells, and I'm here with Sol Espinosa, and she is calling in from Brisbane, Australia. And so we are super excited to have gone international at this point. And Sol found us and wrote in. And so we've had a conversation, and she is delightful and has a story of her own that we'd like to share. And we're going to ask her questions. And we normally do is just have a conversation as talking to a loved one who has been dealing with alcoholism in the family. Sol, I'm going to ask you to just kind of take it away and tell a little bit background story as to why you're here today and what your story is from Mexico and how you got to Australia and those kinds of things.
Yes, sure. Hi, how are you? Thank you so much, for, first of all, for having me.
Absolutely.
I'm so happy that I have this opportunity to talk and to share some of my experience. Well, yes, I'm Mexican. I arrived here in Australia, I don't know, like I think 15 years ago, probably a little bit more. About my journey and my life experience with alcoholism, is my mom, she was an alcoholic. And actually, she stopped drinking about a year ago. This is not exactly because she wanted, but because the life forced her to stop. She had an accident. She fell down from the stairs of her house, and that put her in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. In this place, of course, alcohol is not allowed.
Right.
So that's why she had to stop drinking, which is actually a very sad situation for her, I guess, because people that go through this process and that are willing to stop drinking, they go through a process, right? This process is quite difficult. Now, my mom had to stop from one day to the other with no support at all. And very sad situation. And yeah, I can feel her pain with all these things. Well, I will go back a little bit about my background again in this like experience. I guess my mom started to drink before I was born, and she used to drink every single day. So that means that she was not emotionally available for me. And for me, probably that was the main thing of developing a trauma, right? So I guess I started to do this healing process after my kids born. It's when I actually hit rock bottom. And to be honest, it was not intentional, like in terms of that I recognized that I had a trauma of my mom's alcoholism.
Right.
It's more about that I could recognize in myself that there were so many things in my life that they were not working, like depression, anxiety, that kind of things, right?
Right.
So that's why I started to try to help myself and to start looking after myself, but not exactly because I was recognizing a trauma.
So your life wasn't working, and this was precipitated by your kids being born, and the light bulbs kind of went off at that point.
Correct. And what happened here is that at that time, my friends also had their babies. The only thing that I could hear from my friends is that they were feeling so much understanding of their moms and their compassion. And for me, it was totally the opposite. Like at that time, of course, I was right now, I'm in a different situation. But at that time, I didn't feel nothing but anger and frustration. Because for me, it was how can a mom take a decision to drink or do whatever they was doing and not look after their babies?
Yeah. Right.
So I guess that is what I felt. And I felt even terrible because I couldn't empathize with my mom and with all these things. So it was like a double side bad feelings for me. Yeah, that is what happened in my experience. So from here, I started to do, as I mentioned, so many things. I think I did a lot of work. I also studied health coach.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I think that also gave me a lot of tools to overcome with this trauma. And of course, to look more my health physically, mentally, emotionally. And,
right. At what point did you realize that you actually were dealing with trauma?
Okay, yes. Actually was when I was so fortunate to have a group of very close friends. And all my friends, we are in this spiritual path, I would say. So I was attending Women of Circle. Mm-hmm. And in this place, actually, was the first time that I talk about my problem. Probably most of the children of alcoholic, we are not allowed to talk at home about these things.
So
this for me was like probably, I mean, apart from my husband and probably of my best friend in Mexico, no one else knew about this.
So until this moment.
Yeah, exactly. And I was at that point around 33 years old. So yes, of course, I cried a lot that day. And I didn't really recognize that it was a lot of pain inside me. So I can talk now without crying. So I think I have been doing so much.
Were you surprised?
Totally. Yes. Yes, totally surprised. And this journey has not been easy. There has been a lot of pain, a lot of bumpy in the road. But now that I can see from another point and I can see the beautiful gift that I have to this life experience. And I'm believing nothing of this would happen, I would not be the person that I am not right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can you say just a little bit about the culture of Mexico relative to alcoholism?
Yeah, sure. I guess what happened is in Mexico, there is a lot of alcohol consumption, but especially in men. Well, probably also in women, but that's the problem. That's the problem that if the male is the one that drinks alcohol, it's like probably something that is sociable, acceptable.
Whereas
if there is a woman or especially a mom, it's not. So anyway, you cannot talk about these situations. If your dad is an alcoholic, imagine if your mom is an alcoholic. It's even worse because it's like not perceived like as a not good at all.
So the cone of silence around women and particularly moms in Mexico, being an alcoholic or drinking heavily is quite severe.
It is. It is. Well, yeah, I also think that also for the children of an alcoholic, I mean, everyone has their own pain and their own process, but being the child of an alcoholic and mom, I think could impact even more because that is your role model and is the person that is most of the time with you at home, raising you and nurturing you, and especially if you are a girl, or this connection that you have or the line with the maternity side. Not from only from your mom, from all the generations, right? So I guess that part also has double impact in my point of view and of course in my experience, because I cannot talk about being the children of an alcoholic, a dad. My dad was not an alcoholic, so
Right.
had a very good, I would say a very good relationship with alcohol. She used to drink, but he used to say that he's the one that drinks the alcohol. The alcohol doesn't bring him. I think I learned that from him. So
And brothers and sisters?
I have one brother and he's not an alcoholic. He likes his drink, but I wouldn't say that there is a problem for him in alcohol.
And is he older or younger?
He's older. And yes, I can see that's probably, that is what I'm talking about, this relationship with a mom being an alcoholic. Because I could see the relationship that my brother has with my mom. And it's nothing similar with this relationship that I used to have with my mom. You know what I mean? Boys per se, they are more, I don't know, like probably disconnected a little bit more. Depends, of course, in the personality, but that is my perception.
Were you able to talk to your brother about this?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. We both know that my mom had this problem. And because what happened is my mom now is living in a city called Mérida, where my brother lives. So before she stopped drinking, my brother sometimes shared with me some bad experience that he had with my mom dealing with alcohol. But he's more focused on that specific time. But he really is not worried, or at least that is my perception. He was never worried to stop her drinking, or I couldn't see. I mean, he probably has his own traumas. It's something that we really never talk.
Didn't talk about when you were growing up. So I'm imagining that it felt pretty isolating.
Completely. Yes. Yeah, probably insulation, not only, I mean, with my brother, also with my dad passed away, but we really never talk about this, not even among us. We all knew about this situation, but, but we never talk about that.
And so the first time you actually really said this out loud, other than your best friend and your husband, was in a group of women in a circle, a spiritual circle. And you're surprised by your own reactions emotionally in that moment.
Even now that I'm more willing to talk, and sharing more my experience, every time that I talk with someone different, I can find that there is much more feelings still that I need to release and that I need to work in. Even though I have been doing a lot of inner work and has been a long process. But I also truly believe that this is a lifelong journey. I really don't like labels. I don't want to label myself. I'm the child of an alcoholic and always go with that. But, but still, I am conscious that I need to check myself and to just to be sure that I'm fine. And by saying that, I think it's just a self-care routine and self-love routine as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I do agree with you that it's a lifelong process. And as we age and mature and grow, I know my own experience, my mom was addicted to prescription medications. I kind of jokingly say that every decade in my own maturity and growth and being a mom and so on and so forth, I told a different story because I began to see it differently. And I worked my way through the anger about it and the sadness about not having the mom that I wanted and this evolution of emotion and the journey that I think a lot of us go through relative to understanding, okay, this is what happened to me. These are the stories that I can tell about it. Is this story actually working for me? Do I want to elevate in the course of the story that I tell myself? And will this serve the next best version of me? And so has that been your experience?
Absolutely. And there is also something very important that I have realized in that our brain is so cheeky mm-hmm. and we normally tend to exaggerate things and elaborate stories because we want always to be right and to be all poor of me. So we are living probably a story that even exists. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's up to us if we want to go out from that story. And yes, that's okay. That is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, like my mom decided to live this experience because in the end, that is what it is. Mm-hmm. It's just a life experience that she chose. Mm-hmm. But that is nothing related with the experience that I want for me. And that is not linked to her mm-hmm. or it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
And you need to learn to separate these two things.
Well, I think you bring up a couple of really great points. One is that life shows up in all of our lives, in all these different forms and fashions. And of course, our podcast is geared for the loved ones of alcoholics and addicts. And at the same time, the other piece of this is we get to choose day in, sometimes minute by minute, how we interpret, how we decide to be in that moment, who we decide to be in those moments, who we decide to evolve towards. We're a choice like all the time. And my experience has been, and I think you're also speaking to this, is there's a level of awareness that I think goes with this as the child of an alcoholic or an addict, that you are at a heightened sense of awareness on a regular basis. And given those heightened senses of awareness, again, you get to choose what you do with that.
Absolutely. You always will have the choice whether you want to do A, B, or C, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think also from my experience is that we need to stop seeing us as the victims, right?
Yes.
Is just to stop that cycle because mm-hmm. once again, in the end, it's up to you, the life that you want to live mm-hmm. and the one also that you deserve to live and that mm-hmm. you are worth enough to mm-hmm. have a better life mm-hmm. than when you had maybe. And
yes.
it's up to you if you would still want to live in that past mm-hmm. or if you just want, as you said, like living the present moment one day at a time. Mm-hmm. And today I choose to be a better version of me. I choose to live this life. Mm-hmm. rather than the circumstances choose for me, right?
Right, right. Yes, we are so much more powerful than I think a lot of us believe. And so do you feel like that moment when you chose to share your truth with the circle of women, that that was the beginning of you taking your power back?
Absolutely, yes. Definitely that was the starting point. Mm-hmm. Just breaking the silence was such a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. And as you said, Vinny, that empowerment, mm-hmm. just to see what I'm going to want to do for me, right? Mm-hmm. And as I said before, it really didn't happen because in purpose, like to overcome this trauma, it was just because of mm-hmm. my life in general, right? Mm-hmm. But actually, the first time that I talked with a friend a couple of years ago, I mentioned a conversation about my mom's alcoholism. And she shared with me also that she dad was an alcoholic and mm-hmm. that she used to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And in that group, they could also receive help, not the alcoholic, but the family.
Right.
And until that point, I was not aware of this.
Yes.
I never ever knew that
yeah.
there were help outside. I actually never think that being the child of an alcoholic mm-hmm. first was a problem, an issue that you could actually take action.
Yes.
And for me, it was like, wow. So there's something there I knew about this.
Right.
I really wish I knew about these groups. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like at least 10 years ago, because for me, it took me so long. I'm there and I'm happy. And but yes.
Well, it was one of the things that I found fascinating about your story was that you didn't even know that there were self-help groups or Al-Anon or anything that would be of service to you as a loved one of an alcoholic. And I think that was fascinating. And it's kind of coupled in the way that I think about this with the notion that the industry is really kind of geared towards fixing or taking care of the alcoholic or the addict. And that's why Voices in Courage was born, was because I couldn't find the resources in one place that I needed and I wanted to navigate this at a higher level. And so that's how that kind of came to be. And what I want to do is I want to kind of highlight the importance of you having the courage to break the silence and then how important that community was for you to create a safe space where you could break your own silence.
It was everything, like for me, because I really feel so supported and that they love me no matter what. Mm-hmm. And it was really important for me in that journey to have this community. And mm-hmm. I think you really need a community,
yes,
regardless, mm-hmm. right? Like anyone needs a community and that feeling of belonging. But mm-hmm. especially this group, it's about alcoholics, we need that mm-hmm. because we need to feel that safe space to share, only to express, only mm-hmm. to talk. You can release so much mm-hmm. just by talking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to self-listening to you as well, mm-hmm. you can regulate your feelings. For me, it has been very important to have the support.
Yes. Well, I think it's super therapeutic to have a space where you can talk and actually hear yourself say it.
Yeah.
Because most of us are carrying this around in our heads for so long. We might yeah. journal about it, but it's a whole different thing when you actually say something out loud and you're almost like, did I just say that? And so then you have another window into what's actually rattling around in there. And it gives you more to work with around your own journey. And so I think that part's fascinating to me.
Absolutely. As I said before, this is also part of a self-care routine, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
self-love. When you are trying to get that help and that support and just to bring up your best friend or whoever
right.
you feel comfortable to talk with
yeah.
and to express how do you feel, it's part of a routine of self-care, which is so much needed.
Yes.
And once again, for everyone.
For everybody.
Especially,
yes.
Especially for this group.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you, was your experience kind of the breaking the silence, the finding a really safe group where you could break that silence with, beginning to tell your story and to come in connection with your emotions around your own story, was that really kind of the opening for you in terms of the importance of your own self-love and self-care?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It was like the starting point because you're really lost. And if everything mm-hmm. is just inside you, all your thoughts, when you just talk to yourself,
mm-hmm.
it's just like a spaghetti mixed of thoughts inside mm-hmm. you. Of course, you don't have that clarity.
Yes.
But you need to express, first of all, understanding yourself,
mm-hmm.
who you are,
mm-hmm.
know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know myself at all.
Wow.
So after knowing yourself, then mm-hmm. is when it comes self-love. I'm talking mm-hmm. about self-love. That mm-hmm. is something that I think you learn at home. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if we can see with magnifying glass that you know this problem of alcoholism or addiction, it might be a problem of lack of self-love mm-hmm. of this person. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you are living as a child environment that there is no self-love mm-hmm. at all, so you are learning that or not learning.
Right.
And that is so, so important. For me, it's probably the key element mm-hmm. for your physical, emotional, and mental health.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you don't know yourself, if you don't love yourself, and if you don't have self-care,
mm-hmm.
then what can you do? You are
right.
just surviving everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. And so we talk about moving from crisis to struggling to surviving to thriving. And that's what you're talking about is elevating above just surviving into that thriving space. And part of that thriving space is recognizing who you are in this. And beginning to step into your own self-care, breaking the silence, creating great community, learning who you really are and kind of doing self-exploration with others, so to speak. Because there are a lot of people who don't know who they are. So to be able to create the space, and I want to emphasize that I believe it is a courageous act. And we talk about the five acts of courage. And one of them certainly is the self-care component. And that we have to, at some point, recognize that we are worthy.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, as I said, this is just a pillar of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't learn that one when you are a kid,
mm-hmm.
then you need to find out the way to learn it later on mm-hmm. in life.
Right.
And yes, you are completely right as well by saying that most of people, they don't know themselves
mm-hmm.
at all. And in my personal experience, I don't even know, like, for example, a simple pain. Mm-hmm. Like if I have a pain in my tummy and I knew that probably a certain food wasn't good for me,
mm-hmm.
but I really need to stop and think, okay, so what I feel bad, why this food is not good for my tummy. It's mm-hmm. like that deep understanding of a relationship with a person that you know that is not a healthy relationship,
mm-hmm.
but you don't know yourself. So you keep just going and going because you are just surviving.
Right.
And you are like numb. You cannot feel.
Yeah.
So it's like a loop.
Right. Exactly. And we keep repeating the same loops. We're kind of habit machines until, like you hit a point where this wasn't the life that you wanted. It wasn't working for you anymore. And so in that moment, you chose to do things differently. Whereas a lot of people continue to do the same things, just expecting a different result, which we call insanity. And so you stepped into your courage and action in breaking the silence and creating a great community for yourself that was safe, and then starting to build, I'm assuming, a lifelong practice of self-care and self-love at this point.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So could you speak to just three things from a self-love and self-care perspective that you have just now built into how you live your life that serves you to live at a higher level?
Okay. So one of the things that have been working very well for me in terms of self-love and self-care is basically a morning routine. Morning has been a key. I try to wake up between 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation for me also, that's one of the best things that I have been doing in terms of self-love. Journaling as well. Journaling has been helping me. And once again, build this community. I'm not really good asking for help, but I have been learning to raise my hand when I say I need help. So yeah.
Good for you.
These are the things that have been helping me. And of course, probably because of my background of health coach, just to eat the right food.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And so I want to be clear with people that are listening to this is these are actionable items.
Yes.
Things that you can actually take a hold of that will make a material impact in the vibrancy of your life and the healthiness of your life and begin to help you take those stair steps up towards thriving, even in the midst of this kind of chaos. And wherever you are in this disease, these are things that actually have material benefit every day. And so I want to say something or ask you about the asking for help, because I find that this is a global issue. For a lot of people is somehow we got the message that we're supposed to do this by ourselves or life generally by ourselves. And we're not supposed to ask for help. And it's one of the things that I'm super focused on relative to training on actually is the skill set and the practice of asking for help and why it's so critically important.
Because we are not alone and we cannot survive by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We need the people as much as they need us. I haven't met any people or person that is not happy to help.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that I know is happy to help.
Yes.
And for me, if I know that I can help someone, that makes me so happy.
Doesn't it? Yes.
Mm-hmm. So happy. If I know that, why am I not asking for help?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Giving people the opportunity to help you. There's a circle, an energetic circle. Asking and receiving, asking and receiving. And if we only give and don't receive, there's a break in the energetic circle.
Exactly. And even the opposite, right? Like if you don't feel that you can serve someone else,
yes,
it also like, well, for me, like makes me feel not really good.
The other thing that you wrote about was managing stress.
Yeah. And I'm like willing to talk about that. Yeah, I think managing stress is so important. As a health coach, I specialize in hormonal health and specifically in adrenal fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, adrenal fatigue is nothing else but a prolonged exposure to stress.
Mm-hmm.
So I reckon that that is exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
When you live as a kid in this environment, it's a constant stressful situations, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There is nothing else but stress and chaos at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So prolonged period of stress that you are living through all your life,
right?
That when you go and that when you reach your adult life, you are just, your adrenals in this case are just exhausted.
Yeah.
You cannot cope anymore with the stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just remember my dad always said to me, you need to learn, because as a kid, I was always stressed and anger all the time and that kind of reactions. And he said to me, you need to learn to control yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I always asked myself, because I never asked him, why you don't teach me? You
know? Mm-hmm.
And I would love as a kid to have this sort of guidance. And I know now, because I have been practicing so much, like there is so many tools that you can use to manage your stress. For sure, you cannot control what is happening at your home, no? The stressful situation. You cannot control that your mom or your dad is going to drink.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can control is first, well, of course, the way you perceive things, but also to manage your stress levels. Once again, how, well, yes, meditation, journaling, exercise, that's another thing very important. Even some certain foods, there are certain foods that can lower your stress.
Yes.
Or keep you more calm. I mean, I was interested in this topic of hormonal health and adrenal fatigue because I was diagnosed with adrenal fatigue myself. So, and I reckon, I mean, now I understand why.
Right, right, yes.
So once I recognize there is a problem, then I can do something.
Well, and I mean, given the times that we're in, there are so many people that are dealing with stress and anxiety that are unskilled. And so in my way of thinking about it, going through this myself, is I'm kind of uniquely qualified, as you are, to help people skill up in learning to handle the world that is surrounding us right now and taking our own power back in terms of who we decide to be in this craziness that we're living in and the stress of the world that surrounds us. And how do we create buffers, kind of stress-free zones, so to speak, and do a better job of protecting ourselves, the self-care component. So everything is interlinked on so many levels. And I understand the adrenal fatigue. I had that myself. Have you experienced in the work that you've been doing as a health coach, people who are just kind of addicted to the cycle of stressing?
Yes, absolutely. And in the end, it's like a drug as well. It's like a loop because it feels something familiar and that you need it. Mm-hmm. It's nothing different from any addiction. Mm-hmm.
Right? Did you end up dealing with this yourself? Because I know I did. I remember being in my 30s and just go until I hit the wall. And I thought that was what success was. And so when I hit that wall, and pulled back to look and see, okay, what's going on here? I did the doctor stuff, but there's only so much they can do around that. They can't break your pattern of stress. You have to learn to kind of almost decouple yourself from the pattern of being a stressor. And it's also goes hand in hand with growing up in a very chaotic home. You grew up in chaos, that's what you know. And so until you decouple it, even when things are calm, you create stress because that's what you're comfortable with.
Exactly. And that is what I was trying to say, that's your comfort zone to live in this situation, in this stressful situation. And that's why, stress is going to be there always. Mm-hmm. It's just how we can be able to manage the stress. That's why also I mentioned that it's also something that we need to monitor always. As you said, even now, I fall in that loop of stressful situations, just going on in certain behavior. But then there's two things. One, I now have the awareness. And for me, it's easier to recognize that I'm falling again in that loop.
Right. Yes.
So that's for me the most important thing, that I have the awareness. And second, I have the tools to know what to do.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that I'm not going to be again in a stress, because stress is there.
Yes. Yeah. And we're human.
We are human.
Yes, exactly. And so can eventually become, it's really not about the stressors. It's really about who we are in the midst of everything. And I talk to my execs that I work with, tooling up, skilling up to be the calm in the storm, because the storm is here. It's happening everywhere. It's happening in our families. It's happening globally. It's happening in our companies. It's happening all around us. How we choose to show up in the midst of the storm is our choice.
And which also is a matter of perception, how you perceive things, right? Why sometimes when you wake up and I can see my bed that is not done, and that made me so bad and so mad because I'm perceiving in a different way, because probably that day I didn't sleep properly because whatever happened. Mm-hmm. But the other day, it's exactly in the same situation, I'm at home. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the perception of how we have the choice to see things in the way that we want to see it.
Yeah. So as we're getting closer to the end of our conversation together, this has been fantastic. What I want to kind of reiterate with people is that these are all skills that we can all learn. It's really a choice as to whether we decide to take this on and step into our own power and have the courage to speak our truth and tell somebody that we trust and journal and exercise and eat well and change our perception. I mean, that's been a big part of my journey, is changing the story I'm telling. And what I find is, and I don't know if this is your experience, but I will check myself, is that the story that I want to tell? Because I realize I'm just making it up.
Yes.
And so if I'm just making it up, sometimes I want to tell a different story that actually serves me at a higher level. Do you find that for yourself?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. When you have this journey of spirituality, I guess, you are more aware of that. And in the end, you are going to create the life that you want to experience in this life. It's the same as the alcoholic. Mm-hmm. They are choosing to live that experience. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. That works for them. It's just a matter of choice and to create the story of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And so as we wrap up, I love that we are creating the stories of our lives. And is there one or two kind of thoughts or wisdom that you would really want to leave our listeners with that are so powerfully important to you in living the life that you have chosen to live?
Well, yeah, I'd probably say the word compassion. For me, that has been so powerful in all senses. Compassion for myself, recognizing that I'm a human being and that even now that sometimes I am in a stressful situation or sad or anger or whatever, I have the right to be in that position. What is probably not right is to stay there for a long period of time and to have compassion.
Yes.
Why I'm feeling this way, and to love myself just regardless. And also, I just have so much compassion for my mom and so much love. And all that anger that I have to release, even feelings of hate here at certain point of my life, and everything of this, was able to turn it into compassion because I can feel her. I can feel her pain. And I know where does this addiction come, which I think most of these people is because they have their own traumas and they were not able to overcome. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have the tools and the knowledge and the support probably.
Yeah.
So I'm so lucky and so blessed to have this life of experience and to have these tools and to feel the way I'm feeling right now, especially with my mom. And I can see that my relationship with my mom has been improving so much in a short period of time.
Yeah.
And not because she has been doing something different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, she stopped drinking, but even before that, it has been so much better. But it's just because I could see with another lenses
yes.
her life. And I really feel compassion and immense love for her.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, compassion for her and also for ourselves. That's so important.
Wow, what a remarkable journey so far. And I so appreciate you and appreciate you reaching out and us connecting and starting this journey. Who knows where this might lead? Yeah, this has been a really great conversation and deep appreciation for you.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me and thank you for this opportunity, for this space to talk. In this world of coaching, when you are coaching someone else, it's also coaching for you.
Yes.
Or in this case, like this conversation that I just done with you is also for me. It's like a win-win situation, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I talk about when we have conversations like this, both of us will leave different people in a more powerful way. And I am forever shifted because of the power of this conversation with you. And so I am so grateful for that. And to have another kindred spirit around on the other side of the world from a completely different culture than mine, this is what being a global citizen and being a human and part of humanity is really all about. So,
no, thank you so much for having me and for this space. I think it's great. The work that you are doing is amazing. I'm so inspired. So, thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Addiction never affects just the addict. It affects all of us. Recovering from addiction and alcoholism is also a life-changing battle for families dealing with a loved one's addiction. Numerous programs support addicts as they reclaim their lives, while their families face their own challenges without the same guidance. You're listening to Voices in Courage with K.L. Wells, where we transform the lives of the families and loved ones of addicts and alcoholics from surviving to thriving in the midst of chaos. Tune in as we highlight vulnerable stories of families who have addicted relatives and friends and learn how they have dealt with the challenges of isolation, desperation, and shame. If you are seeking ways to live your best life, then we welcome you into this safe space. Be a part of change today with your host, K.L. Wells.